To be honest, I'm a little tired.
You're a little draggy?
Yeah, my whole family caught COVID recently. And your boy was the caretaker, mostly the caretaker, while also trying to close deals.
It's the least you can do. Least you can do is take care of your family.
Yeah, we had a crazy week.
Yeah, that's it. But I feel like you're perpetuating a lie.
Really?
Like, you're dragging today. It's not because your family had COVID.
Okay. It's the cumulative effect of...
Alan was in these streets last night.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why Alan's dragging today.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay? Alan was outside. I'm always the one talking about, hey, I'm about to be outside. Alan was outside last night, and he had a good time.
Yeah, okay.
Good, wholesome time.
Very wholesome.
That's why you're dragging today. It's not, you know, the nobility of taking care of your family through COVID. It was...
Yeah, Fridays got a little crazy. TGI Fridays.
Listen, okay.
I got the appetizer and the dessert.
That's not what happened.
And I got the cocktail from the happy
that's
hour
not what
list.
Happened. Alan was outside. I'm going to just leave it at that.
Okay.
That's why he's dragging today.
Yeah.
I'm not dragging today. I'm up.
Yeah.
Bright.
She's all the way up.
I was outside also last night, but.
What'd you do?
I was outside, more outside than Alan, and I still got home. Probably like earlier, like you were really doing your thing. So I went to a Jasmine Sullivan concert last night.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
How was it?
It was lovely. You know, she's all the things. I know this is not my first time seeing her live. She really is an amazing talent. It was the crowd that was getting on my nerves.
Really?
Like I get it. We all love her songs, but like they sung every single word. To the point where it was drowning her out.
Wow.
So that was a bit annoying. And this particular venue was just a little too hood for my liking.
Okay. When you got home, did you bust the windows out somebody's car?
No. That was never my jam.
I'm saying, did you do it?
No.
Did you feel encouraged to do so?
No, that wasn't my jam. And she sang it and like it definitely went off.
Yeah.
But that was never one of my jams for her.
I just like the concept. Like, look, bro, I will... Boy, don't
see,
play
so
with me.
I will be transparent. Now, I've never bust the windows out of someone's car, but I definitely slashed all his tires.
No, you're lying.
What
you slashed the dude's tires?
All four of them.
What did he do?
So he was my longtime boyfriend. And
high school, college, elementary school.
High school. And we were together all 4 years of high school.
Wait.
Yeah. We were together.
Him?
Yeah. We're great friends. He knew he was foul.
You slashed his tires?
I slashed his tires in his parents' driveway.
In high school?
In high school. We were together all 4 years of high school.
So his parents know about this?
Everybody knows. I didn't hide it. I knew what I was doing. I knew. Here's the thing, and I'm going to tell the story very briefly. We were together all 4 years of high school.
Okay.
Like, literally, we broke up. The moment we broke up, I find out that he slept with three of my homegirls.
I mean, so then, if you're going to do it, you're going to have to do it.
Okay, right?
Okay.
Then I went to his house to talk to him about it. Like, I'm like, hey, this is what I'm hearing. Is it true? You should at least tell me to my face.
Oh, gosh.
And he refused to open a door.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's how we doing
that's
it.
How, and that's, I didn't go over there to slash the tires.
I slashed the tires on your car.
But based on how you treated me in this wave of new information, I got to get results.
Got to take matters into my
own
hands.
Got to take matters into
so
my
you,
own hands.
Right then and there.
Right then and there. Turn so right around because it was in the driveway.
He's probably looking out the window.
And his parents.
Can I ask you one question? This is
I'm going to add this part to it. Somebody at our firm was sitting right there watching me do it.
We had no firm back then.
Someone who works for Momentum.
Now.
Okay. Was right there watching me do it.
Yeah.
He drove me there.
And it won't me. So, all right. Scientific research purposes.
Okay.
How long does it take to like bang three of your friends? Like, does this happen like in a week?
Word of one, it was like a week.
He was so
he just got loose.
Now, Now, your homegirls ain't at fault in this
case?
Yeah,
for sure. For sure. Like, those bitches are trash.
But their cars were intact.
They barely had cars. The issue was that he had just got a really nice brand new car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you hit the sidewalls. You didn't puncture the top where he could.
I don't know. I was just going for both.
You know, it's a little harder to fix
it. Yeah, those girls were not my friends anymore after that moment, but that wasn't my issue.
And what happens when you see them now in the streets?
It was funny. I'm glad that you brought that up. And I'm sure we have a lot of listeners who can relate. I see these chicks now. First of all, the fall off is real. Okay. The fall from grace is mighty.
Yeah.
But they're so like, hey, girl. Oh, my God. I'm so proud of you. You're doing really? So great. Like, you look so good.
I'm not proud of you at all.
At all. And we're still friends. Me and not me and the girls. Like me. You know the ex that I'm talking about because we are still really good friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am not petty in the regard that I hold grudges, but I never forget. I definitely never forget. So when the, like, they always want to.
Sounds like holding a grudge. But
here's
whatever.
The thing. Like, I think people take it too far. Like, you could say, hey, but they want to come in for a hug. Like, we're not doing hugs. I'm not even a hugger.
Yeah, this is true.
So I'm not doing hugs when you slept with my boyfriend that I was with for 4 years publicly.
And this was easily 25 years ago at this point. But
easily.
Okay.
The problem is they would sleep with him right now if they had the opportunity to, and I don't like it.
If they did it right now, you have a problem.
No,
with
I'm
this.
Saying the fact that, like, I know y'all would still sleep with him in this moment.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. I don't know how we got there, but that's not what we're talking about.
Well, I had my tire slashed once. And
did you? All of them?
She and I are not friends anymore.
I had all my tires slashed.
By a dude?
By a girl. By a girl about a dude.
Mm. All right. We need to do a new podcast of just scandals.
No, insurance on
scandal.
Your vehicle. keeping your vehicle insured. Yeah, girl slashed my tires over a dude. Because I told him she was cheating on him.
See, you went too far.
That's my friend.
No snitching.
She ain't my own girl.
Still. He's girl code.
He's my childhood friend and he was my roommate at the time.
Yeah.
And she tried to sleep with me.
Oh, this is getting spicy.
I'm saying. So I told him, like, hey, she's not the one for you. She's really for the streets.
Mm.
And outside of myself, she tried to sleep with another friend of ours. And so I was like, she's trying to sleep with all of your friends instead of sleeping with you. You should probably move on. He, like a clown, went and told her she came and slashed all my tires.
I slashed the tires on your car.
So, yes, Jasmine Sullivan. Yes. The concert was great. She was phenomenal. I just wish the audience would let her do the job that she's getting paid for.
Okay. All right.
But that's not what we're talking about today.
We're not?
Not at all. We are talking about, I really like this show. I like the topic of this show.
Okay. All right.
The best advice ever given.
Ooh.
That's the theme of the show today.
Now, when you say ever, I'm thinking even including the Bible.
Is that advice? Because I don't feel like we got a choice.
There's advice in the Bible.
Is it advice? I feel like
you don't
like,
have to do these things.
No. I mean, you're supposed to.
No, but it's
advice is like take it or leave it. I don't feel like God was here for the take it or leave it.
I think God is kind of take it or leave it.
No.
He's like, look, if you decide you want to burn it
yes,
hell,
we have free will for sure. It. But I listen, I don't feel like if you don't take your homegirl's advice, you're not going to hell. Either way, that's not facts.
Okay.
The best advice ever given, like the topic of this show or the theme of this show.
I will say, thou shalt not kill does not sound like advice.
Doesn't feel like advice.
It sounds like a command.
Kind of feels like.
I agree with that.
You know what I mean?
So then we exclude the Bible in the show.
Right.
Good. I'm good with that.
Yes. Excluding the Bible.
Okay.
Okay. But we do a lot of research. We talk to a lot of really successful people, wealthy people. We read a lot of articles. We read a variety of books about people who have really achieved a top level of success, especially financially. And from those people and from those stories, they have advice that they give and advice that they were also given on their journey.
And we'll throw in some of our advice too.
Yeah. I mean, this is advice that we feel like serves you in a financial nature, but isn't necessarily financial advice, right? I think it serves anybody who's just trying to achieve more, be a good person that maybe you don't hear on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're not going to see this on the memes, but it's advice that we feel like really does serve you in your journey to being successful.
Mm-hmm. And it's not on TikTok.
And it's not on TikTok. Because Alan would know. Because Alan's on TikTok.
Yeah, I'm on there.
What's your TikTok handle?
I don't go on actual TikTok.
What are you doing?
Via Facebook, I land on TikTok content constantly.
So Facebook is the gateway.
Kind of is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never seen TikTok on my Facebook.
Because you're... Well, no.
I'm not doing it
you're
right.
You're not doing it good enough.
Clearly. Okay. Clearly I'm not doing it right. So, Alan, you want me to start or are you going to start? Because we're going bar for bar here. This is kind of like a rap battle.
Okay.
Okay. We've each chosen the pieces of advice that we feel like we want to share.
Go for it.
I'm up first. Be an expert at something.
You stole mine.
I didn't steal yours.
How are you going to come out the gate with mine?
It's not yours. We didn't talk about this in advance. Listen, guys, just know we are not. We did not talk about whose advice is whose in advance.
Up here stealing
so listen,
stuff.
Be an expert at something.
Fight you.
This piece of advice comes from Marla Beck. She's co-founder and CEO of Blue Mercury. A lot of guys might not know what that is, but it's a kind of spa-based retail store. Her business was bought by Macy's for $210 million.
I'll take advice from her.
You'll take advice? I'll take advice from her. And all of this happened at a relatively young age. Be an expert at something. This is what I take from this piece of advice, because we're all very complex and layered human beings. So I think that we're all good at something. We're all capable of doing a lot of different things. And oftentimes we get caught up in doing a lot of different things all at one time, not necessarily being good or great at any of them. But I do recognize, and I think you and I, really speaking from our own personal experience, become an expert at something.
Mm-hmm.
Apply yourself to one thing. It does not mean don't do anything else, but put a lot of emphasis on honing in on one particular thing, because I genuinely believe that if you focus on whether it's leadership, entrepreneurship, a specific industry, product innovation, you can make a lot more things happen. You become a lot more valuable. You're able to make a lot more money in a space when you really become an expert at one particular thing.
Okay. All right. Since you're stealing mine.
But I'm just saying, so for us, crazy, completely random, we've become experts in dry cleaning. It doesn't take away from what we do professionally. It doesn't take away from all the other things we're really great at. But we are both really good in business. But we decided at a certain point to really hone in on the dry cleaning space. And I think it's clearly served us over the last several years and what we've been able to do. Now, we're experts in other things as well. But at one point, when we were doing multiple gym concepts and all these other things, we honed in on one thing for a while, and it's really worked out.
Yeah, I'd also like to think we're experts at investments and entrepreneurship generally.
For sure.
I'd like to say that, because I don't think anyone would listen to the Momentum
dry cleaning
podcast.
No, that's what I'm saying. We are good at a variety of different things. We are experts at a variety of different things. But at some point, every once in a while, you've got to hone in on one thing for a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want to be jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I agree with that advice.
That's advice from Marla Beck.
Yeah, okay, all right. So the next thing I would say is, just taking what you said to the next level, is just the idea of doing your best at everything that you do. And this sounds like really simple advice, but I don't know if folks are really applying this widely. I know when I was a kid, my mom would say, I don't care if you're a trash collector, be the best trash collector there is. But I think we've got to take that on. Everything that we do, it needs to be a representation of who we are. It needs to be, you know, if you're going to do it, why not put your all into it? Do your best at everything you do.
Put your whole ass into it. Don't half-ass it.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. I will take that.
Okay.
Yeah. You can do it. Put your back into it.
Yes.
That's what I heard.
There you go. I like that. My next piece of advice comes from Barbara Corcoran.
Oh, I like her.
Of the Corcoran Group. You've probably seen her on Shark Tank.
Yeah. She's
spicy. And this, it comes with a little spicy story. So she gives the advice, an insult is advice in reverse.
Oh, break that down.
This is her story. She was dating a guy. He was her boyfriend and her business partner.
Okay.
He dumped her. He left her for her secretary.
Oh, my.
And as he was leaving, he said to her, you'll never succeed without me.
That's shady.
And so for her, that motivated her, because she literally said she'd rather die than let him see her fail.
Mm.
And she took that advice, and it made her become more determined to be successful. and she worked even harder just to prove him wrong. That's not what I'm hearing, right? Like, that's the story. But I do believe an insult is advice in reverse. When people insult you, and I'm not a person who believes, oftentimes I think when people insult you, it really doesn't have anything to do with you. And it probably isn't farther from the truth, right? Like, they're insulting you because of whatever they're going through or whatever their perception is. But I think if you have the opportunity or the maturity to hear the insult, mm-hmm. or the criticism, right? Maybe it's not an insult. Maybe it's just heavy criticism. And pull out of it what you need in order to be better. So, for instance, Alan, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
I need you to dig deep. Okay. Dig deep.
All right, into my soul.
Into your soul. Give me a criticism / insult. Like, from the heart.
What?
This is your one shot.
You want me to roast you?
This is your one shot without any consequences.
Okay.
I'm going to use your evil for good.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Like a real one. Alan talks wild shit about me in his head all the time. We just got into an argument the other day. Dig deep.
Okay. Sometimes you get on my nerves.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Right? I can take that.
Sometimes you be getting on my nerves.
Word.
Out here.
You should see Alan's face right now. He is so pained pulling this information out.
So yesterday you got on my nerves.
Yeah.
Okay. I was feeling happy. We had just closed a big deal. I turned to you hoping you would say something nice. You ripped me a new one. Okay. That was not a nice feeling.
That's not exactly how that happened.
You're getting on my nerves.
It's not exactly how that happened, but that's not the exercise that we're doing. So I received that.
Okay.
Right. And what I can take from that is that in moments where sometimes you got to sharing your partner's excitement. Sometimes maybe my timing isn't good on information that I need to share with you, because I admit what I said and it came from a very truthful place. But what I could take from that is maybe I can have better timing. Because as you mentioned, you were really excited about the fact that we closed a deal yesterday, and we closed a very, very big deal this week. We're super excited about it. And during that time, I could only really see how I was feeling about a situation. And based on the conversation that we were having, I felt the need to get it out. And it really was a mood buster for you. I take that from what I hear, instead of hearing you get on my nerves sometimes,
okay,
I could be a little bit better with timing. And I'm sure you and I spend a lot of time together. If you feel this way, there's probably other people who feel this way.
Okay, but how did you take the insult in reverse? I didn't really insult
you. Get on my nerves sometimes. Yesterday, okay, I was up and you brought me down because you came from my throat. That's what you were saying. There was probably some expletives in there that didn't come out. And I took that as, if I can dissect it, your real issue is you didn't like what I had to say in the timing that I said it.
That's true.
So your insult, it was a lame insult. Like, you ain't really bring the fire.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's why I let you do it versus doing it the other way.
Yeah.
We might've got kicked off the air. But your insult can always be advice in reverse.
Okay.
All right.
And by the way, Barbara Corcoran is, I'm sure, way more successful than this dude that left her. Like, she's super successful.
Yeah, especially if you left her for the secretary.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a fact. So this next advice, I don't know. This just resonates with me. Okay. So there is abundance for everyone. You just need to go in and grab it.
Yeah. That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact. And honestly, I really love this piece of advice, and I don't feel like it's shared widely. I don't think people speak from this perspective. People are always so competitive. You know what I mean? Like, and I come from a culture of like, can't stop, won't stop, don't sleep, always working, hustle harder, all these other things. And I'm not saying that there isn't merit in all of those notions, but if you could first layer the fact that there is abundance for everybody,
yeah,
it might take away the competitive nature. It might take away the can't never sleep. Like, if you were just mindful that there is abundance out there for me, I have to do my particular work to be able to access it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it would die down so much of the culture of you ain't gonna get my stuff, or
yeah,
I'm gonna have more than you. I have to have the most. Like, all of that would die would just fall apart or fall away if you realize there really is enough for everybody.
Yeah, that's a fact.
To have exactly what they want or need and more. Mm-hmm. You have to go on your own journey that doesn't look like anybody else's journey in order for you to be able to get it. You don't have to compete with anybody else. You don't have to feel like there's scarcity. If they get it, then I can't have it.
Yeah.
If they get it first, they shouldn't have got it. It should have been me.
Yeah. By the way, why not congratulate them? Why not be happy for them?
Why not learn from them?
Yeah, and realize that if they did it, then I could do it too.
Yeah.
And just because someone else got something doesn't mean there's nothing left for me.
So the other day when we closed in our deals, we were at the bank.
Sure were.
And the woman who was helping us at the bank to close our deals, she was a recent high school graduate, a teen mother. And as she was helping us get through our paperwork, and it was very clear based on the paperwork she was working on that we were doing big things.
Big wires were going out.
Mm-hmm. She said, "Hey, was it hard? How'd you do that? How'd you guys do that?" Instead of being like, what they in here doing? Like, instead of giving us any level of negativity, it was, "That's cool. We found out that we all went to the same high school.
Sure did.
We clearly all live in the same town."
Frank Warriors.
Instead of being like, feeling any type of way, it was, "That's cool. I don't really completely understand what y'all do, but was it hard? Like, how did you go about doing it?" I think recognizing that there's abundance for everybody should put you in a calmer, more open space, not feeling more, again, defensive, the scarcity mindset, the mindset that you have to be perfect in every single area at every single time. You can't sleep because you might miss something.
Yeah.
It's the complete opposite.
Yeah, you got to really compete with yourself.
Yes.
You're not competing against me.
Word.
I'm not competing against you.
Yeah.
Like, we need to really understand that there's a lot out there.
Yeah.
Got to get it. Like, the go-getting it part is the hard part.
It's the hard part. All right. I've got some really good advice coming up. I don't know about you, but I got some bars. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
What's up, North Star family? This is Donnie Rose, and I'm excited to let y'all know about the Word Life Podcast, the latest podcast in the North Star Network that I'm hosting. Each week on Word Life, I will be exploring the intersections of literary art, music, politics, and revolution, and unpacking the messaging, lyrics, and themes of poetry and music, both classic and contemporary, that function as the heartbeat, baseline, and bottom line for radical change. Be sure to check out episodes of Word Life, dropping every Thursday wherever you enjoy podcasts, and let us know your thoughts. Peace, creativity, and revolution.
So we're talking about the best advice ever given.
But not just advice. We're giving advice that we've heard from millionaires and successful folks.
Yes.
Because you can't just take advice from anybody.
Word. That's probably part of the problem right now.
Yeah, facts. Because okay. By the way, on these TikTok videos, folks are giving. We've done this already, yeah. But it's bad.
Horrible advice.
It's bad.
And y'all are taking it from broke people. Broke people who haven't accomplished much. Like, this has always been my rule of thumb. Maybe this is my piece of advice, but this has always been my rule of thumb. Don't take advice from people you wouldn't trade places with.
Yeah. Can I just give you a quick summary of a video I watched this morning?
Sure.
Real quick. The dude is basically telling people how to get all of these loans, these business loans, to then buy an asset. And it's horrible advice. Like, this guy's going to end up putting people in horrible amounts of debt. But I'm reading through the comments, and this woman is like, this is exactly what I've been dreaming of. I'm shaking right now. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get started. And it's like, take out a loan. Like, it's really, really horrible. It's like, maxed out this credit card, then go get that credit. So this is good advice from people who've actually been successful.
Okay. you kind of like, now I'm concerned about the piece of advice that I was going to give.
Nah, go for it.
Kind of like, now it's not going to hit as hard. So this piece of advice comes from Spike Lee.
Okay, I love Spike.
Don't be afraid to use other people's money.
Oh my gosh. Are you doing scams, Tiffany?
I'm not doing scams.
You got to explain it.
Yeah, so it's actually advice from Spike Lee. It's also advice from an author and self-made millionaire, Steve Seibold, who interviewed more than 1,000 wealthy people for his book, How Rich People Think. And a lot of them, 90% of them said, they're not afraid to fund their future using other people's money. Now, not in scamming, not in borrowing a ton of money, but actually, Alan, you are a person who kind of taught me this. You were one of the people who always taught me that using bank money or investor money to do deals isn't a horrible thing.
Yeah, no, why not?
And a lot of wealthy people use bank money and investor money to get a lot of things accomplished. Mm-hmm. And so the question isn't about like just take people's money and spend it. It's talking about investing and pursuing greater returns.
Yeah.
But not being afraid of using other people's money gives you the leverage to do greater things if you are responsible.
Facts.
Right? And you are calculated in strategizing around what you're doing. So Spike speaks about like all of his movies.
Yeah, where he had investors.
He had investors. Mm-hmm. Right? Any deals that he's done, he's gotten involved with investors. Here's the thing. When you are using other people's money.
They want their shit back. Excuse my language, y'all. They want their money back plus some.
But you also have to have a good reputation. You've got to be able, you have to have a track record of delivering.
Yeah.
A lot of people out here are just asking for other people's money and everybody knows you're trash or you have a horrible reputation and you don't have a track record of success or getting returns on that money.
Yeah. Yeah. You will ruin your whole reputation off a bad investment.
Alan and I, we have done investments, several investments. All of our investments, for the most part, have been using other people's money.
Now, you say using people's money. I will say that, like, for them, we're solving a problem for them. Like, there are people who have money and don't have opportunities.
But in the same vein as Spike Lee, in people investing in his film, he is solving a problem. The problem that you guys aren't hearing is that there are people out here with a lot of capital that needs to be invested, that are constantly seeking returns, right? That are not out here just trying to spend all their money, but they need to see some returns. They need to invest their money in some sort of vehicle, oftentimes for some bigger tax strategy or just greater goal of life, future and legacy. And so they are constantly looking for something to invest in to see some major returns.
Yeah. So there's a problem that you're solving. There's a person with money and no opportunities, and there's a person with opportunities and no money. So you match up together and everybody wins. Don't be afraid to do that. I agree with that. Big shout to Spike Lee. Okay. So my next piece of advice is something, Tiffany, I'm sure you're going to agree with. If you have time and energy for the work you're meant to do, there's no such thing as too much work.
Word. Facts. I mean, I think you and I are in a place where we really love what we do.
Yeah.
And I think we've loved what we are doing or what we've been doing for probably the last 8 to 10 years, mm-hmm. essentially.
Yeah, that's true.
And while we get exhausted and tired and frustrated, I never feel like I want to quit. Like I never feel like I don't have anything else to give, that I don't want to keep going, that like there isn't more work that I want to do.
Yeah. For me, it just doesn't feel like work. Like I feel like I'm living in my purpose and God's purpose for me, and I enjoy it. And I don't apologize about that. And I hope everyone finds a profession that is a vocation and an avocation that is something that's a passion of theirs. And you can make money at it. Like, I hope everyone finds that. We're blessed to find that.
Yeah, but I also want to be clear that it took a while for us to make money.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like, so for people who are like, I tried it and, you know, after 3 months, I just wasn't making any money. So I had to just go back to what I was doing. Well, there were years of us not making much money. and really scraping to get by. So you've got to be as dedicated to your craft or to this passion as it is to you. It will show up for you, but you have to keep showing up for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was doing a look at our old tax returns for Momentum.
Yeah.
And it was scarce. It was like, I'm looking back like, man, like, look, at the same time, I never felt poor because anything I needed to do, emphasis on needed, not wanted, anything I needed to do got done. But the Lord is blessed, you know, for sure. But it takes time and you got to put the work in. So I definitely emphasize that quote. If you have the time and energy for the work you're meant to do, there's no such thing as too much work.
My next piece of advice comes from a female billionaire.
Oh, I like this. She's single?
What? Don't have nothing to do with you. And none of your friends are eligible. Let's be clear about that. I've met most of your friends and it's not a go.
They're so handsome and charming, but go on.
Kindness always wins. This is the one that you don't ever see. This is never anywhere.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you right now, from a financial perspective, being kind will get you farther and make you more money and more successful than you could ever imagine. I think people have this mindset that if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a business owner, if you're making a lot of money, you need to just be tough and mean and unavailable. And that's an option. But for Alan and I, who own a number of businesses that require people to show up every day to service our customers, to do work, to work with our clients, us being kind employers has honestly made us more successful than I think any of our counterparts. I'm gonna just put that out there.
I'm gonna take it a step further. Like, we're kind to everybody.
Word.
And I'm saying,
no, not me. But you.
But like,
Alan,
give you an example. Like, we just closed a deal where we were able to buy some really great assets for about 30 cents on the dollar.
Yes.
Were we ever mean to this person?
I got mean at the end. I don't know if you remember that call. I was so for.
But on average, like, we could have been a dick from day one.
Word.
We were very kind. We
the explained. Entire time.
We prayed for the guy. We told him, you know what I mean? Like, we've been in a similar situation before, so we're not trying to run all over you. We legit could have run all over this person.
Legally.
Yeah, we could have and been good with it. And we were being, I won't say what could have happened, but I'm saying, like, we were kind because I just believe in, I won't say karma, but I do believe in treating people the way you might want to be treated in that same situation. Or just being kind in general because it's like a good thing to do.
But we've gotten a lot of business just from being kind and likable.
Yeah.
People referring business to us because, hey, I like those guys. Alan is correct in this particular deal. I was kind most of the way through. At the end.
You can't flex on Tiffany.
And they're, I got a call where they was telling us what they was and wasn't going to do.
Oh, really?
And so I had to let them know. But I think kindness has brought us a lot of our business, to be honest with you. We get so many referrals. We get so many opportunities. People just want to sell their business to us because we're good people. They know we treat the employees well. We'll take care of their business. We'll treat them respectfully throughout the transaction.
Keep it real with them.
Right. Our employees love working for us because they know that we care. We are kind to them. We treat them with respect. We talk to them with respect.
Yeah. I think there's this assumption that in order to be successful in business, you've got to be cutthroat. And I think I see a lot of people being cutthroat and having these microaggressions at waiters and at servers and at, you know, and at the retail cashier. Like, you can be nice to people, even in like a jam. Like, I was hearing, I read an article about servers at restaurants being fought, being beat up because they're just trying to tell people to put a mask on.
Word.
Like, there's no advantage to being mean and belligerent to people.
Also, that says a lot more about you. Personally, I think people who become successful or make a little bit of money and then start being mean to people, like, that's your insecurities are showing, like, your issues are showing, and you feel like because you've gotten a little bit of something, you have the right to take that out on other people. Like, you're a clown for that. But in addition to Alan's point, I genuinely think that you probably are blocking your blessings by not being more kind.
Yeah, that's a fact.
People are not going to want to do things with you. People are not going to want to expose you to put you on if they know you're not nice or you could just be more kind. Being mean unnecessarily. Matter of fact, just being mean, because to me, mean is different from standing up for yourself or having a backbone or any of those other things. Being mean to anybody, regardless of their stature or position in regards to you, is setting you up for failure.
Yeah.
You're going to be the first person they want to fire. You're going to be the first person they want to throw under the bus. You're going to be the first person when things start to go well that they want to get rid of. You're going to be the last person they think of when things are going right or where there's something really great that they can sow into a person. They're not going to think about you.
Yeah. I'll tell you a quick story. Like, I got a boot on my car one day, and then I got a boot on my car the next day. And I could have gone belligerent and yelling at the guy that's responsible.
Sounds like you were out here not paying tickets.
But I learned a lot from this guy. I went to this guy like, look, man, you put all these boots on my car. I was wrong. I need to understand how you came to own this big ass parking lot. And this guy sat down with me. We had lunch. He broke down to me as a young black man how he came to own this big successful business. And I could have been belligerent and mean, but I was kind. And even though I was in a situation where a lot of people would have blacked out and been upset, I learned a lot from the situation. So again, there's so many opportunities where you could, let's say you had a bad experience at a business. So many people are so quick to lash out at that business, either in person or online. And as a business owner, I'll tell you, it's hurtful in the sense that, like, there's going to be mistakes, but like, give me an opportunity to make it right.
Yeah.
Like, don't just go out ruining, trashing my business to the world, because, you know, this is how I feed my family. There are people on the other end of this who, you know, get a paycheck for working here. And again, being kind, I think generally is just a good thing for the universe.
Yeah, I agree. And so this is, to me, this is financial advice. This is probably one of the best pieces of advice we could give you around being more successful. And it will have an impact on your finances,
yeah,
your career, your trajectory, whatever your plans are. Just be kind.
Okay. All right. Since we're going simple and powerful, be patient and persistent.
Mm.
This advice came from a trader. Trading is not all that patient typically, but I think this is advice that could really apply broadly. Patient and persistent. Like, you talked earlier about starting a business and not making any money in the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? But being patient and, like, believing that it's going to work out and continuing to show up every day, continuing to do the work. That sort of advice is going to work across the board in a lot of different careers, being patient and being persistent.
So this is how I word that advice. I say this to myself often. I've been saying this to myself for years, probably at least 15 years. Stay low and keep firing.
Okay.
And for me, it's like, listen, just...
I don't know what kind of situations you find yourself in where this literally applies, but go on.
No, it's the same thing, right? But for me, it's the stay low is kind of like, just put your head down and just work at it,
okay,
right? Like, you don't have to keep popping your head up every 15 minutes to see if it's working. You don't have to, you know, tell the whole entire world what you're doing every 33 seconds. Just put your head down and go in on what you're working on. And just keep firing. To me, that's patience and persistence.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. And then the keep firing is just sticking with it.
Yeah, just sticking with it. Just keep firing.
I'm just picturing everyone's knees getting shot out by
Tiffany.
No,
that's not, this was not a violent, this wasn't a violent scene. I've got a piece of advice.
Okay.
I really like this advice. All events in your life are neutral until you label them.
Okay.
To me, this is like the struggle porn, the woe is me. Right? Like, anything that happens, and let's think about from both of our perspectives. There was, I'm sure when you were in your 20s, when you were in your 30s, you probably went through a very difficult time. And whatever was happening, it was the end of the world. You just couldn't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. You got into a fight with your friend. You know, you got fired from a job. Lord, it's over. I can't take it anymore. 10 years later, you get fired. Man, it's whatever. I was tired anyway. I'm about to go home.
Yeah.
I'll put my resume out tomorrow. All events in your life are neutral until you label them. It could be the end of the world if you decide it's the end of the world. It could just be the opportunity for a transition. Time for you to start something new. Major friendships end. And when you were 16 years old and if a girl told you she ain't like you no more, you was ready to move schools.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, you and Barbara ain't been kicking it lately, and you heard she was talking shit about you down at the whatever y'all hang out. I'm not going to say it, but you know, Bump Barbara. I'm just saying, like, you've got to define, you have the sole ability to define what these moments do to you in your life. If you decide this is going to be the thing that ruins me, I'm not going to survive this. We broke up. We're getting a divorce. I'm never going to come back from this. Or time to move on.
I got a quick story for you. So I worked on Wall Street during a really difficult time, during the 2008 financial crisis. And I saw a lot of people get their careers blown up, like get fired. And there's a lot of folks on Wall Street who really tie their personal identity and personal worth to the firm where they work. And I had a friend who got laid off, and she was like distraught and devastated. She was putting her resume out. She's not getting any opportunities. And so we met like in the first week that she got laid off, and she was like completely in the dumps. And I'm like super excited for her. And she couldn't understand why I was excited for her. And I said, look, you don't understand what just happened. You have the opportunity to go out and create something completely new, with a new company, with a new opportunity. There are opportunities waiting before you that you have no idea how great they're going to be. And you just got the freedom to go pursue those things. You've got a chance to reinvent yourself with a new company, a new department, a new set of clients. And I'm super excited, because the one thing I know about you is that you are a winner, you are skilled, and the world needs to find out about you. And this is a chance for you to get out there. And what's crazy, I don't even remember telling her this, but she told me this back to me recently, and I recall it in hindsight that this was like what she needed to hear at that time.
Yeah.
Because when I saw her recently, she's like super successful. She's like 3 times higher than where she was when she got let go. She makes way more money than what she made. And she needed to decide that that event was a positive and not a negative. And that's on you to decide
that. It's on you to decide that. I have a very similar story, very quick story. One night, one of my homegirls was like, hey, come to the city. Let's get in these streets. Pre-COVID. This
okay,
was pre-COVID.
All right.
And I said, sure, let's do it. So I drove out. She was living like in Queens or Brooklyn at the time, but I went to go pick her up. And she was like, hey, can I invite 2 of my homegirls? Sure. The more, the merrier. The streets are calling. Pick up 2 of her homegirls. One of her homegirls gets in the car. Beautiful girl. She's just down. Sad. I'm like, we didn't even get there yet. Like, we were going to Red Rooster. This is back when Red Rooster was like really popping. That's Marcus Samuelson's restaurant in Harlem, for those who don't know. She was just sad. And I was like, what's going on? Like, get your girl. What's going on? And she was like, she just got divorced. And I was like, oh, snap. I was like, it's lit. And she was like, I'm sorry, what are you saying? I'm like, listen, from a person who's divorced, this means it's transition time. Like, this means that there's nothing but greater opportunity. This is your opportunity. This is your time to focus on yourself. Like, I get it. That relationship ended, and clearly it was supposed to end. But we're going out tonight, and you don't have anybody to think about but yourself. You can have as much fun as you want to. You can do whatever you want to do tonight, because you don't have to answer to anybody tomorrow. And guess what? That's your future moving forward. It's about you now.
Ooh.
Isn't that exciting that after whatever period of time where it was about somebody else, it's now your turn?
But you don't understand, girl. That was my
man. She was like, yeah. I mean, she had a little bit of that, but she was like, I didn't think about it like that. It's about me now.
Yes.
I answer to me now.
Congratulations.
Listen, we tore Red Rooster up that night.
I bet you did.
Okay. But just the thinking of how you label it. And I'm not making light of divorce. I've been through divorce. I get it. But you are responsible for deciding what it's going to do to you. And that's anything in life. How you label it defines what it is. How you label it defines what it's going to be for you. You have the power in every situation. You have a right and power in every situation to determine what your ultimate outcome looks like.
Amen. I love that.
We got more advice. We'll be back shortly. Hopefully you're writing some of this down, taking some of this to heart, and realizing, yes, we are financial advisors, but we're also people. We're also entrepreneurs. And this advice that we're giving you services all of those things. It will cover all areas in your life. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
Momentum. Okay. We're still giving advice.
Yeah.
The best advice. You know what? We started off with like the best advice ever given or the best advice you've ever heard, but I kind of want to switch it up.
Okay. And you know what's crazy though? The irony of this whole show? We give good advice all the time.
All the time.
Like every day we give
good
advice.
But this is perfect, perfect point. This is why I think we should switch the title up to the best advice you never heard.
Ooh.
See what I'm saying? Oh. We give good advice all the time, but you've never heard this. You're not. This isn't the advice that people are talking about, that they're publicizing.
Okay.
So I think it's the best advice that you never heard.
All right.
With that, I'm going to follow. So I got 2 solid ones. I'm going to do the first one. I'm not going to skip you. I'm going to allow you to do your thing.
No, you do your 2.
Let's You're going to let me do my 2?
Yeah, I'll give you.
Because it might be. You might not want to go after me, is what I'm saying.
I'm good. I'm good with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to bring such fire.
Yeah, mine is not something you've never heard, though.
Okay. All right.
Some of these listeners maybe haven't.
All right. You're only as good as the people you surround yourself with.
You've never heard that?
I'm just saying, I've heard it. I don't know if it's put out there in mass the way that it should be.
Okay.
I feel like that. It's always like, you know, don't trust nobody. Don't have no expectations in nobody so you won't get let down. It's only, you only need you. Like, I feel like that's the advice that's being pushed out.
But your parents told you to watch the people you hang with.
That's different from you don't need nobody.
No, what I'm saying is like this idea
snakes
of
snakes in the grass.
You're only as good as the people you hang with is similar to what your parents told you as a kid.
You're wrong. You don't know everybody's parents, okay?
I'm talking about your parents told you this.
My parents definitely did.
Birds of a feather?
My parents ain't say that. But yes, greater than birds of a feather, like you are only as good as the people you surround yourself with. And okay. So what that means for me is there are a lot of people out here who you're the smartest one in your bunch.
Mm-hmm.
You're the most successful one in your bunch.
Best looking. Go on.
You can't control that. Like that's not something you have control over. But like, you know, you are the most progressive person in your bunch. Mm-hmm. And you're cool with it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be cool with it. And it doesn't mean get rid of your friends, but it definitely means you need to expand your circle to bring in people who are elevated,
yeah.
Right? Who are doing better than you, who are farther along in their progress than you, who are making or saving or investing more money than you. That's how you learn. That's how you expand. You're not going to be able to do better if you don't, not just if you know better, but if you don't have access or proximity to better.
I got that. I like that.
So you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with. And then my next one, this is a special one. This one comes from the heart.
Okay.
Money isn't everything.
I agree with this one. No, this could have been mine.
Money isn't everything.
I think people overvalue money.
Yeah.
And this is crazy.
I know you feel strongly about this.
Yeah, coming from a financial advisor, you don't expect people to say this. But, you know, and you think that I'm, you know, on some brand new stuff when I say this. But I really think that people place way too much emphasis on money.
Yeah. I mean, this notion of thinking about like money isn't everything, it's not worth sacrificing the things that really matter. It also doesn't define the things that really matter. So when I talk about sacrificing, I'm talking about your health, your family, your friends. Like it's not worth sacrificing these things for money. And also money doesn't define how valuable you or anybody else is or how valuable any particular experience is. I think a lot of people spend a lot of time determining their respect level or interest in other people based on either how much money they make or how much money they think that person has.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And that doesn't define anything at all.
On that note, there's a certain famous man who talks about this concept of the high value male. And I just think it's complete BS. And I get into fights about this. The number one definition, as he's given the definition, the first thing that he always mentions is your income. And I just personally think a person's income has nothing to do with their worth. Like zero.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a lot of folks who make a lot of money, but ain't worth anything in terms of who they are as a person. And I've seen people with no money who are like outstanding people.
Right.
And so I think it's so cheap and it's so easy to be able to assign value to people based on how much money they have or they make. And I think it's the worst judge of character.
I felt the same way about experiences, though. And this is coming from a person who does spend a lot of money on experiences. Like, I do spend a lot of money on vacations, and I like a specific caliber of things. But I hear people, when they refer to me in this regard, they're like, oh, I know you don't do it regular. You only do it big. And I'm like, yeah, I have big moments, right? But like, I also do it very regular. Like just as much as I love traveling to international places with my friends, you know, one of my favorite experiences is that once a month, my best friend comes to stay with me for the weekend. We don't leave the house. We wear sweats the entire time. And I'm just going to admit it. I'm just going to put my business out there. We eat potato chips all weekend.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we don't bathe.
No.
Gonna say,
whoa,
what?
Whoa. My melanin factor won't allow for things like that. But that is one of the most valuable, I look forward to that so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And no money is spent other than her gas money to get here. And she fronts the bill on the chips. I provide the heat and the place to stay. But money isn't everything. And I do agree with Alan. So many people value others and themselves around money. There's a lot of people who lack confidence because they feel like they don't have enough, or they're not making as much as the next person, or they can't afford the next thing, you know, that someone else has. And that just isn't real. Like, these things that we've defined, it's just not real whatsoever. Very quick, funny story. Someone who is making attempt at like getting to know me over these last couple of months, an unsuccessful, but has said to me, like, you know, I know you like to do a big, you know, you're so successful. You out here getting it, you killing it. They don't listen to the podcast. They don't really know me in real life. So I said, well, what do I do exactly? What am I killing? I could tell you like nice things. So I know you must be making money. This was my literal response. And how exactly do you know that I'm not a scammer? Like, I could be a scammer. I could be doing all types of crazy things with men for these items that you see. Like, what do you know about me? Like, you don't know enough about me to know if I am a good person. You talk about these high value individuals, that I'm a high value individual because you see me with nice things and you might think that I'm successful. Now, I am, but this person doesn't know that. And it's around the material items that you see in my proximity that you've defined who I am.
Yeah, which is a horrible way to judge someone.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, because I will tell you, I've just working in the wealth management industry for decades, I've seen some really wealthy pieces of
trash.
Yeah.
Yes.
Straight up.
Word.
And they're no better than the person that doesn't have a lot of money.
But it's crazy, right? Because we will, it's like levels, like we will give all types of value and praise and quality labels to people who make a lot of money or have a lot of expensive things, unless you make too much money. Because then if it's a Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, and I'm not saying these people are good or bad people, but like the moment you make a lot of money, you're the devil. It's a problem, right? So you can make a lot, but not too much.
A middle lot.
And then you're great and amazing, but if you make too much money, you're doing too much, you got the Amazons and all that.
You sold your soul at that point.
At that point, you got to get the hell out.
You're exploiting people.
So the whole notion is confused.
Yeah, but I also think that as you accumulate more, and when I say accumulate, I'm not just talking about financial assets and money. I'm also talking about more experience.
Yeah.
As you accumulate
education,
more education,
family,
experience,
friends,
awareness, what you realize over time is that time is way more valuable than money.
Mm-hmm.
How you spend that time, way more valuable than any amount of money you can spend. And if you find someone who's on their deathbed and you ask them, what is the one thing that you would like more of?
$20.
It ain't going to be money. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah. And I think it's time, but as we age, it's our condition in time. Right?
What do you mean by condition?
Condition, like we could have 15 more years of life, but I'm in extremely poor health. I can't walk.
I won't be on a ventilator.
I can't breathe. You know what I mean? And that is something that a lot of us still have control over.
Yeah. So to your time and your health.
Your health.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people who are sick, who have all types of diagnoses, that are on all types of medication, and they would gladly prefer a clean bill of health over, and I'm going to say over $1 million.
Yeah. Can't put money on that.
You can't put money on that. And you could probably go out and make $1 million if you were in good health.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So those are my final
two. No, I'm going to stay on that point for a minute. Because I've seen relationships break up over money. I've seen family members not speak to each other over, you know, $100. Like, it's not worth it.
It's not that serious.
It ain't that serious. Like, money is like, you've heard people say easy come, easy go. Like, mm-hmm. I've blown money on dumb stuff.
Yes.
And that has taught me that, like, if I would be willing to blow money on dumb stuff, I shouldn't value it so much that if someone owed me money, that I don't speak to them for the rest of their life.
Right.
Because it ain't worth it.
You've cashed out on, you've spent $300 going to some random dinner and you ain't like the food.
Higher.
$600 on a dinner.
Higher.
The food wasn't good, or you probably had the same thing. You had the same chicken you have every other time, every other night that you go out, but your homeboy borrowed $200 and it's on site with him. Now y'all fighting and you can't talk to him no more and it's the issue.
Yeah. It's just not everything. My final one is also, ironically, we didn't plan this, but my final one is a Maya Angelou quote. And you've heard me say this a million times. Don't make money your goal. Instead, pursue the things you love to do and do them so well that people can't take their eyes off you. That's a quote that I live my life by. I do not make money my goal. Tiffany, you will attest to this.
This is a fact.
Like, I like to make money, but I view money as the sort of byproduct of me pursuing things that I'm passionate about and pursuing them with zeal, with the goal of being the best at those things. And you can't help but make money if you do that.
That's a fact. And that is, you are correct. This is literally Alan's life mantra that he's always lived by, or not since college. I think you've lived by this mantra.
Since business school.
Without knowing it, it's also a mantra that I live by for sure.
Ooh.
Without knowing it. I didn't know the whole quote.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm riding the same wave as you.
Don't make money your goal. Instead, pursue the things you love to do and do them so well that people can't take their eyes off you.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If you are spending your time pursuing the things that you love to do, you're enjoying your time. Having a hell of a time.
And if you're doing them so well that people can't take their eyes off
you,
that means
you're some money.
You're the best at something.
But they're going to want to give you some
money. You see what I'm saying? You can't be the best at something and be broke. That doesn't go together.
To that expert.
You see what I'm saying?
The expert advice I gave earlier.
You see how we tied it all together?
Yeah.
This is the best advice I've ever heard and I've never
heard. And never heard. I know today's show wasn't like the traditional numbers and dollar signs conversation, but I'm telling you, if you take this advice, it will have a meaningful impact on your finances, on your wealth. There's no way that after hearing about being more kind and things that you should focus on and, you know, not focusing on money so much, I guarantee you it will affect the bottom line for you and your family.
I love it.
We'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Moment time. Moment.